The Shepherd Study, helping pastors discover literature to broaden their ministries. This week, we look at Paul's Missionary Methods in His Time and Ours by Robert L. Plummer and John Mark Terry. Our reviewer this week is Pastor Paul Yonke. Robert Plummer and Mark Terry edited this volume, written for the centennial of the publication of Roland Allen's 1912 missiological classic, Missionary Methods, St. Paul's or Ours. Plummer, a professor of New Testament interpretation at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, edited the first part of the book on Paul's message. Terry, a professor of missions at a seminary in the Pacific Rim and visiting professor of missions at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, edited the second part of this book, which analyzes Paul's missiology. In order to gain the full benefit of reading Paul's Missionary Methods, it is necessary to be familiar with Roland Allen's book, Missionary Methods, St. Paul's or Ours. The latter is recommended reading for world missionaries in the Wells. Allen was an Anglican priest who served as a missionary in northern China from 1895 to 1900, and then briefly again starting in 1902. Allen contended that much of the mission work he observed was based on a colonial or patriarchal model, which had expatriate missionaries attempting to duplicate in their mission fields the church facilities, ministries, and governance they had known back home. Allen believed it was common for missionaries from the West to withhold authority from the people they served in the mission fields due to a fear that native leaders could not be trusted to govern themselves or be good stewards of church finances or maintain doctrinal integrity. Quote, "We have allowed racial and religious pride to distort our attitude toward those whom we have been wont to call poor heathen. We have approached them as superior beings, moved by charity to impart our wealth to destitute and perishing souls. We have used that argument at home to wring grudging and pitiful doles for the propagation of our faith, and abroad we have adopted that attitude as missionaries of a superior religion." End quote. Page 142. Allen contends that the Apostle Paul's method was to establish churches in leading cities of four provinces: Galatia, Asia, Macedonia, and Achaia, which would be strategic centers of evangelistic life. Page 17. Paul, Allen asserts, typically spent 6 months to a year establishing a church. During that time, he taught and raised up leaders, then moved on to the next place, trusting the Holy Spirit to work through the Word to guide and develop those leaders. Quote, "Our difficulty," Allen charges, "is that we have not yet tried St. Paul's method anywhere." End quote. Page 25. Paul's Missionary Methods in His Time and Ours is made up of 14 essays by various evangelical New Testament and mission scholars. The first part of the book treats Paul's message and includes chapters on Paul's gospel, Paul's ecclesiology, Paul's theology of suffering, and Paul and spiritual warfare. This part of the book serves as a helpful summary of the main emphases in the Apostle Paul's message. In his essay on Paul's theology of suffering, Don N. Howell Jr. writes, quote, "Paul urged believers to literally be imitators of me as I am of Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. His cruciform patterns of proclaiming Jesus Christ is a paradigm for the church to imitate. In these early years of the 21st century, three great religio-cultural bastions remain largely resistant to the missionary endeavor: the peoples that embrace Buddhism, especially Japan, Thailand, Taiwan, Tibet. Hinduism, especially northern India, and Islam, to penetrate the hearts of those bound to these deeply rooted belief systems will require the costliest of sacrifices of Christ's servants, just as it ultimately cost Paul his earthly life. End quote. Page 106. David Hesselgrave, in his chapter in Paul's Missionary Methods on Paul's Missions Strategy, alludes to Bishop Leslie Newbegin's foreword to the 6th edition of Allen's book, where Newbegin wrote, quote, "Perhaps one word in the title of the present work is unfortunate, the word methods. If anyone thinks he will find here a method which can forthwith be applied, he is in for trouble." End quote. This is because, Hesselgrave writes, quote, "Though readers can be expected to look for certain methods that can be applied in their own missionary ministry or in the ministry of others, they will not find any. Or, if they do, they will do so because they misunderstand what Allen has in mind." End quote. Page 128. Allen himself, following a 1932 visit to missions in East Africa, wrote, quote, "I never ask anyone to do anything, and consequently I do not get a yes or no. I say what seems to me obviously true, but they do not know what to do about it. One day someone will see what action is demanded, and perhaps screw up their courage to take it. All I can say is, this is the way of Christ and his apostles." End quote. Hesselgrave, channeling Newbegin, believes that what Allen is advocating is something called, quote, "generational resubmission," end quote, page 129. In his foreword to Allen's book, Newbegin wrote, quote, "The essential thing that Allen was concerned about was the resubmission of each generation of the traditions of men to the Word and Spirit of God," end quote. This is, quote, "because Allen is thoroughly convinced that his generation of missionaries is going about the work of missions in ways that comport well with inherited colonial patterns and traditions, but not at all well with the way of Paul. These patterns need to be resubmitted to the searching scrutiny of the Spirit." End quote. Page 129. The concern about misunderstanding methods notwithstanding, Hesselgrave cites the work of authors Kevin DeYoung and Gregory Gilbert, who, quote, "conclude that Paul is indeed the model missionary, and that Paul's mission was threefold. 1. Initial evangelism. 2. The nurture of existing churches by guarding against error and grounding them in the faith. And 3. Their firm establishment as healthy congregations through full exposition of the gospel and the appointment of local leadership." End quote. Page 144. Along the way, Paul's missionary methods and John Mark Terry's chapter on Paul and Indigenous Missions also serves as an introduction to some key missiological terms like indigenous. The missionary effort to establish indigenous churches is defined as, quote, "an effort to plant reproducing churches that fit naturally into their environment and to avoid planting churches that replicate Western patterns," end quote, page 160. A related key concept is, quote, "three-self," end quote, churches, that is, churches that are, quote, "self-supporting, self-governing, and self-propagating," end quote, page 165. Terry goes on to quote from the application chapter of Allen's book, writing, quote, "Allen's main principles are these: all pertinent teaching must be intelligible and so easily understood that those who receive it can retain it, use it, and pass it on," end quote. Additionally, quote, All organizations should be set up in a way that the national Christians can maintain them, end quote. And, quote, church finances should be provided and controlled by the local church members, end quote. Plus, quote, Christians should be taught to provide pastoral care for each other, end quote. And finally, quote, missionaries should give national believers the authority to exercise spiritual gifts freely and at once, end quote. Page 167. Ed Stetzer's chapter, written with Lisette Beard, Paul and Church Planting, reinforces all this and provides additional food for thought when he writes, quote, Allen notes, though it seems paradoxical, that the brevity of Paul's time with the churches he planted is likely what helped them succeed. He believes that, had Paul stayed longer, he may actually have stunted the growth and process of maturing believers. Paul's practice of planting a church, equipping new believers for a period of time, and then departing gave them room to grow into leadership roles in these new churches. End quote. Page 191. The call to resubmit our missionary methods in this generation to the scrutiny of the Word and the Spirit is certainly in place. Without even realizing it, our methods of doing mission work may delay or even prevent the maturing of churches and their leaders in our mission fields. To be sure, much of what the Book of Acts and Paul's epistles tell us about his methods of doing mission work are descriptive in nature and not prescriptive. However, quote, two-thirds of the Bible is narrative in nature, end quote, page 155. And Paul's application of Old Testament narrative in 1 Corinthians 10, quote, implies that historical narrative in Scripture has pedagogical intent and value, end quote, page 155. It is with good reason that Roland Allen's Missionary Methods, St. Paul's or Ours, is recommended reading for Wells World Missionaries. In addition, reading Paul's Missionary Methods, in his time and ours, is an excellent follow-up for its analysis of Allen's book. Anyone interested in understanding current issues in missiology will not be disappointed after reading these books.